is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Having a child with autism is one of the biggest challenges a parent has to face. At Autism Parenting Magazine, we know there are moments of sadness, anger, and exhaustion. Many times, you feel alone and need support from the autism community. That's why we created the award-winning Autism Parenting Magazine. Every month, we feature the latest coping strategies, therapies, and expert advice for autism parents to inspire and bring hope. Join over 37,000 readers today and get a free issue of Autism Parenting Magazine by going to autismparentingmagazine.com.
Welcome back to autismradio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on with us again and another edition of Hope Saves the Day. We have a great topic, our social media topic of the week. We wanted to hear from our listeners and our followers. If you had a high-functioning child with autism or a child with Asperger's, and we wanted to know how hard it is to get the appropriate accommodations for your child to be able to learn. We heard from many parents that this is a huge problem in the autism population. Asperger's or high-functioning child with autism are being shoved aside and not getting the proper accommodations that they need to prosper and learn. We wanted to hear from parents or adults who have gone through this themselves and wanted to know, what did you do? And also, what would you recommend doing? And we'll be speaking with some of the professionals to get advice on how to handle this problem. And we asked our listeners to contact us, and we got a tremendous amount of responses. So I know, Lynn, if you wanted to start us off with a few.
Okay, sure. Like I said, thank you, everybody, for writing in. We got a lot of answers. So, okay, I'll read the first one. We had a serious crisis in my son's classroom, ultimately forced the school to outplace him and two other boys in his class, not typical of the process. It was a huge battle, and we had a ton of support from our local advocacy group. Well, that's an idea right there. And Autism Society made sure that the state special education department was informed of the situation. Not easy, and I still have guilt over what happened to him at school. He is severe too, nonverbal and challenging behaviors. He has been out of district almost 5 years, and this is his second private school. Really pleased with the progress he has made at the new school. Just had an anniversary, and I always tell others on this journey, when the child that you see at home isn't the child that the school tells you about, there is a problem that you need to solve. Okay, the next person wrote, personally, I haven't had a problem. During the meeting, though, we put during one of our school meetings, we put the accommodations in place. I always made sure that I email the teachers to let them know, or I have a parent-teacher conferences to ensure the accommodations are being met. If they're not being met, then we'll have another meeting to find out why. Plus, you can also get an advocate or a lawyer. Next person said, we had a hard time. The doc wouldn't do so testing, so the IEPs were denied. Talking with teachers only helped so much because they didn't understand. My son had a hard time in high school. No organizational skills, and multiple classes just seemed like a jumble for him. He was awesome at testing, but getting homework in was almost non-existent. He's a sophomore now and having the same issue. He is in the process of getting diagnosis, but I'm worried it won't be decided till after he graduates. My boys don't have meltdowns per se, but have panic attacks and get sick to their stomachs a lot. It's a constant worry. After a constant go-around with the pediatrician, we recently switched over to a family practitioner. He has started the process for us, referrals and suggestions. So far, we went to a psychiatrist who has medicated and referred us to a psychologist. Okay, so this person looks like they went to a lot of psychological testing. It seems like they weren't diagnosed, though, till later. Okay, I'm going to go to the next person. Had this problem all the way through the primary years with my son, who is now 10. The moment he showed any sign of improvement, they tried to take the support away. They also seem to forget that he has challenges and then punish him for reacting to them, causes big self-esteem issues for him. That's tough. My 14-year-old daughter was told by her guidance counselor, honey, you should try to act more normal. She came home and said, Mom, I thought it was okay to be different. It sure is, baby girl. Better believe that school got a phone call. She has her update meeting for her 504 this month. She doesn't have a full diagnosis yet, so no IEP as of yet. Why are these people, I'm wondering, though, the people that wrote into me, it looks like some of them weren't diagnosed. My daughter is 13. She was diagnosed last year. This is her first year with an IEP. She definitely struggled this year. I actually have a meeting with her school on Friday, as they have determined she needs more support than they began with her for the school year. I'm happy they're making any effort to support her now that she's diagnosed. Keep doing what you know is right for your child. I wish you the best of luck. My daughter's school did a lot of testing. They were required to test in every area of suspected disability. My daughter's official medical diagnosis came in during the 60-day period's IEP testing process. I notified the psychologist assigned to her case. They were very thorough, and all tests came back inclusive for autism, and the psychologist was in agreement with the medical diagnosis, and they qualified for IEP services under the categories of autism and other health impairment for sensory processing. Very hard, and IEPs are not followed in school anyway. I guess that person was not too happy. I'm going through the same thing with my six-year-old, just moved to a new school district, and they want to put her in an all-autism program, but she was making so much progress where she was before. It feels like they don't want to deal with her and put her aside. I'm starting to regret our move, and I don't know what to do. Where your Asperger's kids is under the autism program or general education. I don't know what that means. My son was in special programs all through elementary school. This is the next person. This year, seventh grade, is the first year he has been regular ed. For us, special programs work because my son is also dyslexic, which we didn't find out until fourth grade. He was able to get more help in special ed and more one-on-one. Every child is different. You know your child and what she or he is capable of. Do not think it is right for her. With Asperger, she's probably going to have an adjustment period with the move anyway. Kiddos don't always like change. If you feel he or she would be better off in regular classes, you can talk to ARD anytime and make changes. Next person, my son is in mainstream class for the first half of the school year. Things were fine just before Christmas break when he started tackling classmates, hitting them and teachers, as well as throwing chairs. He was sent home several times and was asked to keep him home. January 30th, he was transferred to a structured learning program at a different school, and so far things have been so much better for him at home and at school. There is a total of 11 boys in class, kindergarten, first and third graded. There is one teacher and five teacher aides. See, that's kind of what happened with my son, too. Like, once they see that there's an issue and they move him to the proper program, I think that makes a big difference, Paul. Like,
absolutely. You know, makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, I know with my son, he needed, like, more than the other kids in the class, and that's when they moved him to I had to move him to a private school and get more help for him. I literally just had a discussion at our IEP meeting today. It makes no sense to me that they have all these accommodations for our kids to teach them, but literally none for testing other than increased time or separate quieter settings. What? So you mean to tell me that you know my kid knows how to do something, you know he knows the answer, but you can only ask him the way the school test designer has determined is the right way to ask it? That makes no sense. So my kid does poorly on a test because, you know, of the way you work things, and you're going to say he's the one that's dysfunctional. It gets me really angry. It's our dumb country, blah, 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 blah. Going on and on, very angry. We have no rules that make no sense and actually hurt our kids. So that person was really upset. We need more rights in this, and that was the last answer that I had. And thank you very much, all these people writing in. I think, and I've heard from a lot of parents, honestly, Paul, to be honest with you, that I think this is sometimes the case. The kids are not diagnosed until late. like later on. And that's an issue. That's a huge issue.
Right,
I think with the high functioning section, it's hard sometimes to diagnose these kids, and they're not being diagnosed until they're teenagers. And then they've got problems getting the services that they need. That's what I've been experiencing when I talk to people on social media.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there was an article recently that came out talking about parents that have been diagnosed with Asperger's or high-functioning autism.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know it for 45, 50 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've known people like that, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they had no idea all these years. They knew they were slightly different, and they had no idea, you know, and because they didn't have any, you know, real detection like they do today with screening. So
right.
They had no idea. And,
I think it's a hard thing, too, for some parents. Like, they might be sort of in denial. I'm not, obviously, you and I have severe kids, so I'm not saying I know what it's like, but from talking to people, sometimes I think it's harder for the parent to believe that there's something wrong with their child when they're higher functioning because it's so slight. Sometimes the difference, you know, it's hard to really tell, or maybe if they can get away with fitting their kid in with the regular kids, they don't want to deal with it, kind of. So then that's hard, you know, and then if you don't get the diagnosis, then you're not going to get the services that you need. So I guess my advice would be try to get those, you know, don't be in denial and try to face, if your kid is having problems, you have to really hit that straight on, you know, get on that the school and get the programs and the help that you need, you know. Because
yeah.
It's so easy to just say, oh, well, they're having social issues, or, oh, they, you know, they're obsessive about certain things. So it's a hard, the Asperger's or the high functioning end of the spectrum, it's very hard to diagnose them, especially in girls. I've heard it's even harder.
Yes.
But it's really hard to diagnose those kids sometimes.
That's true. That is actually very, very true. It's a very challenging thing for many people, parents, kids, adults.
Mm-hmm.
Even I think doctors.
Yeah. I mean, I have a good friend of mine, her granddaughter was just diagnosed at 21 years old, 21, 22 years old. They didn't know what was wrong with her.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just don't know what's wrong with your child.
This is
true. It wasn't like they didn't care or they weren't trying, but they were in a state where the person was being tested, with psychological testings and psychiatric testing, where meanwhile she ended up having Asperger's.
And then there's a lot of them diagnosed with PDD NOS.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that still a thing? I don't even.
It is, you know, which is called persuasive developmental disorder,
mm-hmm.
And high functioning autism, which is HFA.
Right.
And it's been recognized as the distinct medical diagnosis in Europe, actually, for almost 60 years. And it's only being included in the U.S. Medical Diagnostic Manual since 1994. So hasn't been as prominent or awareness here in the U.S., believe it or not. So
that's
kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and, you know, there's many different characteristics of Asperger's syndrome. You know, they might have an impairment in the use of multiple nonverbal behaviors, even such as eye gaze, facial expressions, their body posture, gestures, or just to regulate, you know, social interactions with people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes
it's very, very fine line.
You know, they can have extreme difficulty in developing age-appropriate peer relationships. I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges that I hear from many parents.
Right.
Inflexible adherence to routines and preservation. Fascinations with things like maps, globes, and routes. Some have superior route memory. Some have preoccupation with particular subject to exclusion of all others, amasses many related facts. Very difficult to have judgment on their personal space, or they might have motor clumsiness. Very sensitive to their environment, whether it's loud noises, clothing, food textures, and many different odors. And sometimes they can have speech and language impairment as well.
Yes.
And just a lot of times it's challenging to understand others' feelings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they'll have extreme difficulty in reading and in interpreting many social cues, socially and emotionally inappropriate responses. Literal interpretation of language and difficulty comprehending implied meanings. And sometimes they can have extensive vocabulary and their reading commences at an early age called hyperlexia. and then also stereotyped or repetitive motor mannerisms and difficulty with give or take type conversations. And that's some of the basic, you know, things that individuals with Asperger's struggle with.
And I think they they tend to be, when they are diagnosed and they're mainstreamed into the classes, we'll get into this. I think we did a show on this already before, but a lot of them are bullied, and that's another whole issue for these kids. And, you know, I know our where I live personally, we have a zero tolerance policy up here for bullying, for no matter what you, whether you're a special needs or not, it doesn't matter. We have zero tolerance policy. They don't allow bullying. But there are other areas of the country where that's a real huge issue, where these kids are being bullied by the regular kids. It's really sad.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. And you know, many of them have significant gifts, you know, obviously, and do some amazing things and very talented.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's different levels of challenges with Asperger's and higher functioning autism as well. Just like you have, you know, our children, you know, they have their challenges in areas that we're dealing with. And it's hard. It's hard for families. It's hard for adults. It's hard for, you know.
Yeah, it's really tough. I think that, you know, being more on social media and everything and talking to other parents, you really realize that we're all on the same team together. We all have challenges. It's not like one is harder than the other. It's a different type of challenge. I mean, I know some of these kids are very, unfortunately, I know a couple of Asperger's parents where the kids are very violent. The kids are extremely violent because they're more aware of their limitations and they're angry and violent. And, you know, that's tough. It's tough to take. I don't know, you know, how to live with that. But, yeah, I mean, we're all on the same team. I think we all want the same things, and I think that's important not to say, oh, you have it harder, we have it harder, blah, blah, blah. No, you know, it's just a different type of, you know, challenge, and it's really stressful no matter how, if you have a child with autism, whether they be severe or higher functioning or whatever it is, you have, you know, it's a lot to deal with. It's an extra stress on your life, a huge stress on your life.
Definitely, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of adults I've spoken with, you know, they're obviously very proud to be an Aspie. I know that's a big thing. And it makes them unique and individual, separated from others. And they're talented. You know, these are very, very talented individuals that make them exceptional. And I don't know, you know, not all of them are quite, like we said, there's a balance of, you know, their level, whether if it's educational or, you know, career-wise. I mean, I know some individuals that are Asperger's that are some of the most brilliant scientists and doctors in the world.
Right.
And it's amazing. You know, they're absolutely incredible. But they're just like, their social interactions, they're a little bit awkward. And, you know, they struggle with that challenge of understanding that.
That's what I think that's the confusion, I think, too, sometimes is a kind of a fine line between social anxiety and Asperger's, you know, and I don't think I printed out, but I had been looking that up for my own information that, you know, there's a fine line. Sometimes it's hard to tell what the difference is, but Asperger's will have more of those inability to carry on a conversation or have the mutual exchange, and they don't want the connection, whereas, you know, social phobia, they're afraid to have the connection, but they do want it. You know, it's just like, not that the Asperger's doesn't want it, but they're in their own, it's a different type of thing. I can't remember exactly what they said, but it's completely different.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, there was literally last month, Psychology Magazine came out with an article of what to kind of look for, I guess, you know, do you have Asperger's syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, adults are finding out later in life.
Later in life, yeah.
And it makes it very interesting because they realize that they had challenges and they deal with them and they, you know, struggle with certain areas. And, you know, they actually had some key factors that could be possibility. If you listen to some of these, it's kind of interesting.
Right.
One of them was like, do you have a tough time making or keeping friends or don't understand why? Or perhaps your friends are only interested in you when you're engaged in an activity or interest that you share, but you never really built a true personal relationship with them. Are you at a party when you feel very uncomfortable or overwhelmed at social events, the way you meet and greet people, especially for business, dating, or even marriage. And if you're uncomfortable because you're unsure what to wear or how to start a conversation, or you have a hard time reading body language, these events can be truly torturous for them. You know, do you avoid social events because you can't hear the person next to you over the hum of the crowd? You don't like shaking hands of people, or you don't like someone pat you on the back, or do you have problem focusing on what people are saying while you're looking at them? Have you met someone special that you wanted to get to know better but didn't have a clue as to how to go about asking him or her out of on a date? Has someone you're very fond of pointed out certain behaviors that drive them crazy and suggested that you might have Asperger's syndrome? Maybe there's something, you know, to their suggestion. Do you have a passionate interest in certain subject or topic? Perhaps you're called obsessive, but you think you're just very interested in one incredibly fascinating subject matter. This passionate topic could help you in other areas of your life if you only knew how to use it. If you're a college student, do you have trouble keeping up with coursework and finishing your degree? Perhaps you could use some help in getting and staying organized and planning your time. Do you have trouble in getting and keeping a job that reflects your abilities even though you have the credentials that look great on paper? Could be that you're very talented, but you don't have a clue on how to sell yourself during an interview, and maybe the office politics are just something you don't get, so you're routinely passed up when it comes to promotions. You know, why you should get a diagnosis, because you can really begin the process of learning to live more adaptively with Asperger's. Getting a diagnosis could help you find strategies to help you be way more successful in areas that you're facing and you're having challenges with. And it may help others in your life understand why, who you are and the way you are, exactly, and you respond to differently.
Right.
Because there's a tremendous whole community that get who you are, how you think, and how you feel, and you can share your experiences with them.
Definitely.
You know, there's many autism and autism support groups out there, and, you know, they might also be eligible for service in areas that, you know, after having a diagnosis, you'd even helping them find a job or a place to live, you know?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, when you get older, and also even if you're older and you're in your 20s or something, you still need to have that support, and, you know, maybe you could be eligible for some government assistance or whatever it is, you know, right now. Every state is different, but still, if you don't know that you have it, you're not going to get any of those services.
That's
and,
true.
And it's really important for the, and if the person doesn't recognize it, then maybe the parent or sibling or whoever, you know, can point it out and try to get those services for the child, because it's really important. It really is. Because the future, your future completely different.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, hopefully this sheds a little bit of a light, you know, in some areas that, you know, can be helpful for others, you know, and that's what we do here at Hope Saves the Day. You know, Lynn, is just start the conversation, whether, you know, people answer us on social media or call in a toll-free number or emailing us on a topic, because it starts conversations. And that's been probably the biggest component of Hope Saves the Day that's helped so many others, is just discussing what's going on and what you can do. And it's been great. You know, also want to mention, you know, we are now in the process of getting ready to launch Autism Awareness Month, where it's right around the corner, Lynn. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that many of our listeners, our followers, people that have received services, help spread the word about Autism Radio and let people know what we're doing in the community. We're making a difference. We're helping families. And we need their support, and we need them to make a donation to autismradio.org today, because otherwise that's going to really affect the future of our programs. We have a wonderful program right now, which I always mention every week, and they do such a great job. Is Master Dave Fritz, who has over 33 years of experience in martial arts, has been doing a phenomenal job with our Autism Radio program that runs every Friday. And we have 15 kids now that are in this program. And $5,000, if we can raise, will help pay for a year for these kids. And we don't want these programs to die, Lynn, because it's so important to these families and kids that we want to keep it alive. And a lot of these families cannot afford this program, and therefore, you know, we need to continue raising money to help these families. And it's built such confidence in these kids. And I think one of the biggest things we miss sometimes about that is you see the reaction to the families. It's incredible when a mom and dad come over and said, I can't believe my son just did a front kick and a combo on a pad, or did push-ups, or followed directions, or, you know, just is having fun in an activity, you know. And that touches your heart, you know, when you see that and it can experience it. I mean, it's truly amazing. And we'll also be following up next week because Team Hope right now is competing this week.
Okay.
Which we're really excited. They're at Special Olympics right now, so we'll definitely follow up and get the 411, as we say, on what went on. So
cool.
We're very excited about that. And that's, you know, our Swim for Hope program, which is 100% free. We've been running it now 6 years, going on our seventh year now. I can't believe it's been that long. It's pretty amazing, you know, where we've come, you know, from the beginning to now. And we just continue to keep going, and we want to keep this alive, and we need supporters. We need volunteers. We need sponsors, you know, to continue to help our programs go and keep this alive, because so many people depend on us every week, every day, to provide support and help for those that can't help themselves. And, you know, we have made such a true impact in the community over the past 10 years now. It's pretty remarkable and amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really proud of, you know, being a part of this, and I know you are. You always say that. And
we have
such a great team.
I mean, that's incredible to me. I always tell people, I'm like, this, you got to give this guy credit. I mean, he has a son on the spectrum, he's severe, and he wanted to make a difference. And, you know, it takes a lot of work, like you said, on your part. And yeah, we're a team, but I think, you know, we're a team full of heart, and we work really hard, and we want other people to see how special we are and how much we give to the community. So, yeah, I think it's really important that we tell people to please sponsor us and help us keep these programs going as much as we can, especially come Autism Awareness Month. Not that we don't live it every day, but still, this is the time. If you want to donate to a charity, I think our charity is number one. I'm a little biased here, but, you know, we really do give back, and I've seen the results. So it's very touching. It's really touching. We have these great programs in place, and we run a really good show too.
Yeah, absolutely, Lynn, for sure we do. Yeah. And then I know a lot of our fans and our listeners truly enjoy listening to our program every week, and you know we enjoy doing the program. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Right.
And, you know, it's been a great journey, I'll tell you that. I mean, Hope Saves a Day has been around over 10 years now. Autism Radio is coming up on their 10th year because Hope Saves a Day started before Autism Radio, of course. But still, it's amazing that we're still here. We're still doing a lot of great work. And, you know, we are volunteers. I think that's the big separation between many other charities. You know, we have some charities here in New Jersey that do some great work, but they do have, you know, they do have a lot of payroll, a lot of salaries and stuff. And, you know, a lot of the money goes to that and operating expenses.
Right.
So we try to eliminate all that. You know, 90% of that is eliminated, and we're able to give back directly to the families and back right into our programs to keep these things going. So we're really proud of that. And, you know, we've been doing it a long time now. And I think it's longevity, because there's many charities that have popped up and, you know, after 3, 4 years, 5 years, they kind of fizzle out. And, you know, we're in our 10th year. So this is an important transition for us this year. Of course, we have a bunch of other events coming up, which I'll make an announcement shortly. But we do have our September 23rd, our casino night, which tickets will be available shortly on the website and also online. We'll start promoting that. But we're also looking for sponsors. If you're a business, you'd like to get your name out there. We have our photo op. We're expecting over 400 people this year. So it should be a tremendous, huge event. So you don't want to miss out, guys. Definitely not. We're really happy to work with our good friend from the UFC, Brandon, who runs an incredible autism awareness program. with the UFC gym out in Long Island, which will be going out there shortly in a couple of weeks. So get to be out there. This will be our third year out there on Long Island and working with a great team of individuals at the UFC gym in Long Island. So we're real excited about all these things. There's a lot going on. I know my time has been a little bit limited lately as much, which, you know, changed career gears here this year, and things have been a little bit challenging, but, you know, I'm still always involved somehow, you know, now that I'm kind of back up and running a little bit more, I'll be able to do a little bit more too, but, you know, we're still here. We're here every week, and we want to be able to help you and support you as much as we can, so that's what we're here for, and we have a great team around us that are working very hard behind the scenes as well. So we're really proud of them. So we look forward to it. But again, we'd like to thank everyone, Lynn, as always, for continued support here on the program on Autism Radio. We wish everyone a great week. And until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Bye, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope. Each day, let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day. I want to show you what I see, what kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. There you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope. Each day, let this song